You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good to see you all today. You doing okay? Good week. Man, you guys are a lively bunch. I'll tell you, you are outdoing already first service. I'm just saying. What's that? Oh, okay, that's it. Troy, thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that that does make a significant difference. But anyways, good to have you guys here today. Thank you so much for coming. And I'm excited about the upcoming weeks. Ash and I are working on a series of messages called Road Trip. We got some surprises for you. So that'll start here in the next couple weeks. We got that going on. And Bundles of Hope tomorrow night. Man, how many of you ladies are participating in that? Awesome deal, man. Thank you so much. It was just unbelievable Mother's Day. The response that many of you ladies, wanted to take part in. And so tomorrow we have identified a lady that is with child, and I don't know how to pronounce this stuff or say this stuff right. But anyways, it was she's unmarried and in a situation where she's just really in need, and we are having a bundle of hope shower for her, just to be a light to her, right? And so we're having a huge shower for her tomorrow, and many of you are participating in that. We're just really excited. I cannot wait to hear the reports that come from that, right? And all of that just came from your Mother's Day response. So thank you so much. So today I want to share with you, today's kind of a standalone message, and it's one that just kind of was birthed this week through some meeting that I've had with some folks and some people, and my spiritual sponsor, Jerry Headley, was a part of that meeting. And I just want to just encourage you folks just to kind of listen and lean into this, right? And lean into it, because I believe that there's something here for all of us. You would not be here this morning if there wasn't someone who took a stand for you. Right on? Just say, right on, Ryan, if that's true. Someone took, man, you guys are lively. Man, you don't know how inspirational that is. Someone took a stand for you, right? And you can honestly say, man, there was, as you tell your story, because we all have a story, do we not? And it's amazing the backdrop to that story. Every one of us, with your name is attached a story, and you own that story. That story is you, right? That's what makes up you, okay? Your story. And that story is important. That story is of value. That story in and of itself has a message, okay? And in that story, I think you would agree with me that there are people in your life that took a stand for you. And as you tell your story, in that story, the vocabulary you would use, it would be something like, there was this guy, or there was this lady, or there was this teacher. True? Or there was this coach, or there was this sponsor, or there was this somebody in your life that basically took a stand for you and helped you move through the struggle that you were going through to wherever you are now. I can go through a huge list and just talk about how there was this teacher, this coach, this mailman. Who basically started the West Carrollton Church, who is our mother church, our mothership. We were birthed out of that church. A mailman. There was this preacher, this pastor. There was this coach. For me, there was this resident director in college, Lamont Moon. I remember him. He took an interest in me, made a difference in my life through college, right? There was this other lady. I could go through and just share with you how there were these people that stepped up and made a difference. And so, folks, I encourage you to think about that. When I say there was, or when you say in your story, there was this person, who is that person? Write that person down in your weekly if you have a pen, or make mental note of that person. And what I'd like for you to do this week is share with them that you were at the Shelter Church this week and you know, the guy talking was talking about how there was this person that made a difference in my life. And I just want to offer gratitude to you. Just tell you how thankful I am for what you've done for me. Can we do that? All right. Now, wait. The response wasn't as heavy here. All right. I encourage you to do that. There's something about gratitude, folks, when you let people know that you appreciate them and what they've done in your life. So I encourage you to do this. Shoot them a text or message them on Facebook. Let them know how you appreciate what they've done. So with that said, I want you to also just think about this, okay? Think about this. Take a moment and after you take a moment and think about your own story, I want you to think about this. This morning, and this is what I want to talk to you about, I want to encourage you to think and to know and to understand that there is a whole lot of folks right now who are waiting on you, directly or indirectly, to take a stand for them. Crickets. Where are you guys? You were here? Deathly quiet. But I want you to think about that. There are people that are waiting, people that are in need, people that are out there. And in 5 to 10 years down the road, they're in need of someone to say, there was this lady, this man. There were these people. See, there are people right now in a difficult place in life, and they need someone to stop and to take a stand for them, to meet with them, to do whatever it is the Lord leads you to do, to be you in your current situation. People need to know it. They need to hear it. They need to understand it. I believe that there are folks that want change, and they just can't do it on their own, right? They need someone. And I promise you this, the reason that the church is in business is because there are people in need of them saying, there was this church. With only 335 words, we're going to look at the third smallest book in the Bible. And as it is one of the biggest, and it's maybe small in scope, but it's one of the biggest, most profound stories of redemption. And it's in the New Testament. And if you're scrolling through your Bible app, or if you're flipping through pages, let me just tell you, if you get to Titus, keep on going. If you get to Hebrews, slam on the brakes. Right? Because you'll get lost. It's very short. It's right in between Titus and Hebrews. And in this, it is known as one of the epistles. Now, what in the world is an epistle, right? It's basically a letter. It's a letter. And in this letter, Paul is writing this letter to this person, and it's deeply, deeply, deeply personal. It's an incredibly personal letter. It's a short letter. Philemon was probably one of the most personal letters in nature in the scripture. And this man named Philemon was very wealthy. Can you say Philemon with me? Philemon. Philemon. He was very wealthy. He was very prominent, right? He was known by many. And he was a slave owner, as this was commonplace, right? Now, back then, they looked at slave owners basically as you know, someone who had employees. It was, look, there were 120 million people in Rome, and of the 120 million, 60 million were slaves, okay? So just to put it in scope, give you some enlightenment there, and it was not looked upon or seen as anything. It was a way of life. And you had good slave owners and you had bad slave owners. Philemon was an incredibly gracious and good man. He was not a bad man. And Paul is writing this letter to Philemon. And it's deeply personal. And here's what I would say is that this letter that Paul's writing to Philemon, never, ever in a million years would Paul have thought that we would be sharing this letter today. It was just to Philemon. And as we look at this letter and as we're seeing this letter, it's almost as if we get up behind Philemon and we're peeping over his shoulder as he rolls out the scroll and begins to read the letter from Paul. Are you here with me today? I'm trying to make this very interesting, folks. Thank you. Thank you. So here we are, right? Philemon was a good man. He was not a bad man. He was not looked at as a slave owner like we look at slave owners today, okay? It was a different deal back then, okay? And so Paul is writing this letter, and here's how it starts out. Man, Paul is really, 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 really good at writing. And here's what he says. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner, for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Philemon was using his wealth to help the church. Can you see that? He was meeting, he had a church, or we could say a life group, meeting in his house, or an expression. You know, we do different things here at the shelter, and he basically was gathering people in his house. He was a good man, using his wealth to help share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he had come into the faith, and people were meeting there, and good things were happening. Paul was hearing about it all the way back in Rome. And so you have here Paul's thanksgiving and prayer. Read verse 4 with me. I always thank my God when I pray to you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things that we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Paul is, man, really ratcheting up his gratitude, right? Thanking Philemon for what he's doing, just like I'm encouraging you to do the same. And he's letting them know how much he loves him. And he's letting him know that all the way back where he is, he's hearing of the wonderful good works that's going on. Beautiful stories of redemption that's happening through Philemon and Philemon's ministry. And it shares here about his love, Philemon's love for all of God's people. Not just some of God's people, but all of God's people. And he talks about how he's so appreciative of the generosity that comes from Philemon's faith. And he goes on and he's saying, talking about how he understands all the good things that we have in Christ. And your love, your kindness has oft refreshed the hearts of God's people. Thank you, Lord, for people like Philemon, right? Yes, thank you, God. With that said, in all of Philemon's dealings, there were those who took advantage of his goodness. How many have been taken advantage of when you were being good to them, right? And how does that make you feel? Right? Bad. Makes you angry, right? There were those who took advantage of Philemon's goodness. There were those who misplaced his kindness and took advantage of the freedom and the generosity that Philemon was sharing. One that took advantage of Philemon was named Onesimus. Can you say that with me? Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave that Philemon gave much freedom. He could come and go as he pleased. And Philemon, with all of his wealth, was a good man and respectful and generous to all those folks that worked for him. His Christmas bonuses were huge. He lavished good things and gifts, took care of his people. Onesimus, however, took advantage of Philemon and Philemon's generosity. And one day, Onesimus had it all planned. He took what he needed. he packed up a couple bags, and I'm sure what he packed up, because he didn't have much, was some of Philemon's stuff. Grabbed enough cash, went to the closest bus station and grabbed a camel hound. Greyhound, camel hound, whatever. Greyhound, bus, whatever, right? Camel coach or whatever, I don't know, right? And so there he took off, man, and he made a run for it. And he grabbed his stuff, stole some of his stuff. You know, basically, I'm sure he was indebted to Philemon, and he took advantage of all the goodness that Philemon had lavished over him. And one day, he reached his destination there in Rome, and he figured, if I could just get to Rome, in the middle of 120 million people, no one would ever in a million years ever find me, including Philemon. So one day, walking around Rome, walking through streets, it just so happened that he ran across this man. And this man was in chains. He was in chains and a prisoner. All the while, he was sharing the message, this message of grace and this message of freedom and this message of love. He was sharing this message of Jesus. And Onesimus identified with this message. He identified with the messenger. He knew what it was to be in chains, but yet this man in chains was freer than Onesimus was not in chains. Are you with me here today? Which, folks, think about this. Some of us, we feel like we're stuck in a situation. We feel like our circumstances has us bound up. And instead of praying that God would release us from the situation that we're in, maybe what God wants us to do right is pray right where we're at, that he would be able to share, we would be able to share the gospel in the middle of our heartache, in the middle of our pain, in the middle of our trouble, share that message of grace and hope and love with other people who can identify with the same struggle that you're going through. Right on, Ryan? Right on, Ryan. I believe that. But instead, it's like, oh, God, get me out of this. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be here. I am in chains of my situation. This is no fun. This is not abundant living. Maybe our abundant living is, it can be found right where you're at. Paul, man, sharing this. Onesimus is looking on. He's like, oh my, I know what it is to be in his deal, but he sounds freer now than what I am, not stuck in Philemon's house. Onesimus identified with the message. He knew what it was like. He saw it. He heard it. He was hearing it. I am free, and this man is not, and this man is not, and this man is more free than I am, even after finding freedom from the runaway. So Paul was sharing this gospel of Jesus Christ, and upon hearing this, he realized while he may be free and not a slave, he was in chains still in chains of hopelessness, without purpose, absent of blessing, lacked peace. Onesimus was drawn to Paul, and Paul led Onesimus to the Lord in his situation. Praise God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for that. Powerful story. Powerful story. Isn't it interesting how the Lord puts the right people in the right place at the right time? I mean, think of your situation. Think of your story. Think of your story, and in your story, you're sharing it with someone, and as you share it with someone, you say, there was this guy, or there was this lady. And how God put that person in your life at just the right time, at just the right place. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, right there. The right place. Right there at the right time. Now here's what I we just need to really grasp I can't make this stuff up. There were how many in Rome? 120 million. Some of you all were listening, but you got the 60 mixed with the 120, right? I'm not calling you out. I'm not calling. But I heard 60. There were 60,000 slaves, but 120 million. 60 million. Yeah, 60. Thanks, Don. I'm messing up. I'm not very good. So no wonder you're mixed up, because I'm mixed up, right? 120 million. So, folks, here's what I'm trying to say. Onesimus just so happened to be walking down the street. There's 120 million people. The odds was 120 million to one that he ran across Paul. Now, that's not just all of it. Onesimus bears witness with Paul. Paul bears witness with Onesimus, and they become like family. I mean, Onesimus is there for Paul. He accepts Christ, and he is running errands for Paul because Paul's in jail, Paul's in chains, Paul's in bondage, and Paul is not free, but yes, he is free, free indeed, right? But yet, Onesimus is doing his footwork, helping him out. Paul's discipling Onesimus. Onesimus is hearing this message. He's growing in the faith, and he's working through his steps. Some of you are saying, what steps? 12 steps. They had them back then. 12 steps. And he gets to step 8. And what's step 8? Making amends, Brother Fricky. We got Brother Fricky here in the front row, man. This is awesome. Man, this is great, great, great. Thank you, Lord, because I don't know my steps. Isn't it interesting, though? I believe this. I believe that our recovery people, it's easier for them to work the steps than it is for us church folk. They're tapping into something that we're not, thus 7 baptized 3 weeks ago. Awesome stuff. Here, make amends. Paul and Onesimus, they're becoming friends. And Onesimus reaches this point in his journey and in his step work. He reaches this point and he begins to share with Paul. He's got to come clean with Paul. And here he is. He comes clean with Paul. Upon hanging out with Paul, he begins to share with him the one thing he had been holding back. And Onesimus, he knew he had to come clean about this one thing. And why would it be resistant to come clean? I mean, Onesimus was in slavery. He escaped from being a slave. Do you realize the consequences for that? That's something you don't want to admit to anyone. Onesimus admits it to Paul, and Paul blesses him, begins to work through that with him, and Paul then says, Onesimus, so tell me more about who you were in slavery to, what part, where did he live, what was the story with all that? And Onesimus begins to share, and he says, well, there was this guy, really good guy, and this guy was very generous. He was really good to me, and I just feel so indebted to him because as they took me in, and they were not like any other slave owner. They just took care of me, and man, they blessed me, and they helped me, and they fed me, and I stole from them. And Paul says, well, what was his name? And Onesimus says, his name was Philemon. And Paul says, wait a minute. Philemon. Whoa. Now, I don't know. Philemon's not a very popular. How many of you here have heard the name Philemon? It's not a very popular name, right? Paul says, Philemon. Wait, this is the Philemon? The one that lives on Dorothy Lane? The one that's right there smack dab in Kettering? That Philemon? And Onesimus is like, yeah, that Philemon. Folks, it's 120 million to one. That's the odds. God does not work by way of happenstance. God knew what was going on here, and And Onesimus, it was beyond his imagination. He had no clue that Paul had corresponded, called, knew they were close. They had known each other. And so Paul begins to receive Onesimus, and they began to share more. And I'm sure there was this weeping and this, I mean, you know. And then I'm sure for Onesimus, there was kind of this, oh, crud moment. Because he knows what's after step eight. And he knows Paul knows him. What's after step eight, Freaky? Then you got to go out and do it. You got to go make the amends, right? So that is the story of this letter. Paul shares with Onesimus that, about step eight, coming clean, and then step nine, right? Step nine about going out and doing it. And so he have to go out and do it. So Paul then pulls out his quill. Dabs it a little ink. I don't know if they had that back then, but then he sticks out his tongue a little bit and says, and he begins to write this story. And he picks up the story. We'll pick up the story in verse 8. Paul writing to Philemon. And he says, that is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do, but because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you, consider this as a request from me, Paul. This is a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. Verse 10, I appeal to you to show you kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison, and Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems Onesimus ran away for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your, say that with me, partner. Say it with me again. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he was wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I told you, I'm not lying when I did that. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Wow. That is awesome. I wish I could write a letter like that. Oh, my goodness. Right? Yes, my brother. Please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me. He's not asking for much. For I am hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends you his greetings. So do Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke and my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. And that is the letter that Philemon took back to, Onesimus took back to Philemon as he worked through step nine. Folks, the church is in the business because there are folks who are in a difficult spot like Onesimus. Here's my point in all this. The church is in business because there are people in a difficult spot like Onesimus. And in saying all of that, I want you to understand that all of us understand that through this story, Onesimus became free. And through this story, not only did he become free, but Onesimus, after the death of Apostle Paul, became a saint. Saint Onesimus. He served the apostles until their end. He was made a bishop, the slave. And after the death of the holy apostles, he preached the gospels in many lands and cities. Thousands of people come to know Christ through his message. And in his old age, Saint Onesimus occupied the bishop's throne at Ephesus after the apostle Timothy. And when they took Saint Ignatius, the God-bearer, to Rome for execution, Bishop Onesimus came to meet with him with other Christians, as Saint Ignatius mentions in his epistle to the Ephesians. Folks, Onesimus' story lived on. And it lived on as Onesimus would tell you if he was standing right here. Because there was this guy. And then there was this other guy. And they introduced me to Christ. And as they introduced me to Christ, I then began to hear and receive the gospel, and it became real in my heart and life. And I began to work those steps, and I began to make amends, and I began to make things right. God began to do a work in me that raised me up above what I ever deserved. Isn't that powerful? Story of reconciliation, a story of redemption, a story of how people can make a difference in our lives. God help us. God help us. So in sharing that with you today, I am not very original, I promise you. I'm just going to steal the words from Paul, and I'm going to share them with you, okay? I always thank my God when I pray for you. I do. This church staff here does. We thank you. Because we keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. The church needs that. As you understand and experience all the good things that we have in Christ, your love has given us much joy and comfort. Brothers and sisters, we are thankful for your kindness and how it has refreshed the hearts of God's people. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it. Just teasing. I'm just joking. But Paul says that. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply just to ask. Consider this a request from me. Ryan, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. So if you consider this church your partner, help us welcome those. Help us welcome those just as you would welcome me. If anyone has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Ryan, and your church staff write this with our own hand, copying it from Paul, and we will repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. I'm just teasing. Paul does write that. Under your seats, what you have is a partnership covenant. And I'm not making light of this. We don't do membership here. We do partnership. And we need you to partner. It's a 12-month term. And yes, it's 12 months. Why do you do that? Why do you do it for 12 months? Because we ask for people to partner with a mission and vision of the Shelter Community Church for 12 months. 12 months is what we ask, and then we ask for that renewal. And in partnering, here's what partnering means. It means that you will protect the unity of the church. It means that you will share the responsibilities of the church. It means that you will serve the church. It means that you will support by attending faithfully, by pursuing spiritual growth and holy living, and by helping us financially. And I ask this unapologetically. Every year, we ask. And every year, God provides. I just believe that collectively, as a whole, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people that one day will have in their story, there was this church. God help us. Lord, we pray. Lord, I pray as people consider partnership that you would speak to them and help them. And God, if Shelter is not where you would want them to partner with the mission and vision of this church, that you, Lord, would lead them to a place where they could. Because, Lord, your church needs people. People who are hurting and broken. But yet people who are willing to share in the midst of their pain the grace and peace and love that only comes by way of your Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us. Help us to grow. Help us to be. And help us as we move forward. This is a year where I believe that we will see more expressions like Recovery Church, that we will see changes and shifts in the way that we do ministry and the approach that we do it. I believe that this is going to happen. And I believe that with an unknowing how, you are going to raise up and bring in people to help us do that which you've called us to do. I pray you will bless my friends, that you will help them, that you will empower them, that you would speak into them and bring healing to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.